afternoon and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beats, a music program that's, well, all about music and the people who make it. Today I've got two very, very special guests. I've got Greg Potter and Kathy Rich of the Buddy Rich Band. This year marks the 100th birthday of Buddy Rich, one of music's most iconic and influential figures. Today we're going to talk about Buddy's career and legacy. We're going to talk about that continuing legacy with today's Buddy Rich Band. We're also going to talk about some very, very special things coming up this year to help celebrate that. And of course, we'll be playing plenty of music, both from the vintage days and the current days. So stay with me. Midwest Beat jazzes it up on Lakeshore today. We'll be right back. boys and girls, moms and dads, we are totally jazzing it up here on NPR today. This is the Midwest Beat Program. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. With me, two amazing musical guests, the Buddy Rich Band, Greg Potter, who is now on the throne of that legendary band, and Kathy Rich, who is the daughter of Buddy and also the vocalist in the group. This year marks the 100th birthday of Buddy Rich. Can you believe it? He's one of music's most iconic and influential figures. Buddy changed the way drummers in all genres play. He left behind him an army of devotees, an army of drum disciples, and one of them is Greg Potter, as his friends call him, GP. Almost said JP.
Yeah,
that's the other guy.
That's the other guy.
Eye of the tiger.
By the way, says hello. Jimmy saw the press thing and he shot me a thing. Says, make sure you tell them kids
he's
hello.
Sweetheart,
very nice. Just tell them, you know, don't let Potter change his hair color. That purple's
that
winning
purple
right now.
Him,
it's
yeah.
winning
purple's
right now.
Purple's winning.
And he still won't let me wear his cowboy boots. I think we could share jeans, but
I mean, purple's really his not. Thing.
Exactly. Yes. But no, tell definitely say
him.
Hello. We love Jimmy. We love JP. But yes, I'm referred
you're
to
GP.
As GP.
Yes. 100th birthday of Buddy Rich this year. Lots of celebrations. Next week, September 30th, you guys are going to be in Palm Springs. He's getting a star
yes.
on the Walk of Fame.
He is.
Let's start with that big event that's coming up just around the corner.
Very exciting. We've been sort of planning this for quite some time. And it's finally coming to fruition, and I couldn't think of a better time to do it than on his actual 100th birthday. And my family has a long history of living in Palm Springs, and it just all came about, and we're doing it. It's very, very exciting. He'll be immortalized there forever.
Kathy, do you think that at the time your dad was doing all this, that he would even ponder or even guess that 30-plus years after his death that people would still be celebrating his music and his life as they are?
You know, it's funny. With the reputation that he had and has of being this tough guy, he really was, you know, quite modest.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime there were accolades or, you know, people doing things for him, he was always surprised, which is crazy to me because, you know, he's still the greatest that ever sat down at a set of drums.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think he would cry. Because he was that guy. If you did anything for him like that, he would sit and cry. So, you know,
he was a big softy with a tough exterior.
Real softy. And, you know, he would be thrilled. And I honestly don't think he would believe that it was happening.
Did he realize the impact he was having? I mean, obviously he did the drum offs and he met a lot of young drummers, including Greg, which we're going to
yes.
talk about. They had to have gushed at his feet. And, you know, did he realize that was really, you know, that they were... that he was that influential?
You know, I don't know if at the time, you know, when you're going through life and that's just what your life is, I'm not sure that you ever sit back and go, wow, I'm really influencing people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he knows, you know, what his position was in the music world. But I don't know. Even now, 30 years after he's gone, I'm amazed and surprised and can't believe the people that still are fans and that still discuss him and still talk about him and want to know every detail. So I don't know that when you're just going through your life, if you sit back and, you know, think about how influential you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, the Walk of Fame coming up again October 2nd in Palm Springs. Who all's going to be there?
Oh, wow. There's going to be, you know, all my entire family will be there, which is amazing because everyone's spread out. But everyone's coming. My mom, who had just turned 94 years old,
wow.
will be there. Danny Serafin from Chicago will be there. Another great band from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I'm going to be there, too. I would really like to sit here and listen to Kathy talk all afternoon. But, you know, I'm going to be there.
That's
Greg
true.
Will be there. And the mayor, and we're doing it's like a
whole
thing.
The mayor of Palm Springs will be there. So by the time we're done, Kathy and I should get a free bagel at the Manhattan Deli in Palm Springs.
Yes, but the drum line from the 29 Palms Marine Corps are going to be there. It's going to be pretty.
Jack Jones will be there.
Wow.
So if you want to hear
friend.
The Love Boat performed with someone playing way too loud behind him on the drums.
I hate to say this. I didn't know Jack was still with us.
He is still with us. He's fantastic. I think
I've
he's
not
still
heard
like,
his name in years.
Oh,
just an amazing singer, great friend of my dad's, mm-hmm. and lives
we drop
in Palm
a lot
Springs.
Of old names.
Wow,
we have a lot of old.
Carol Burnett. I believe Dick Van Dyke will be there. We're going to have him trip over a hassock, and then from there, I think Potter's then going to play with. We're going to dig up Mel Torme's corpse, and I'm going to play just behind
really?
Him. With,
That's not right.
Don't say that. Don't say corpse or Mel Torme?
Either one.
Either one. In the
same
sentence.
Probably not in the same sentence.
Could they fix this in post? I think I just heard Greg Potter. Do they have a legal team here that will possibly get me out of this?
I don't think so.
But I'm going to be in Palm Springs. Kathy, you said I can go.
You can go. You just can't talk.
Now, I saw pictures of you on the website of you with a marching band. Now, what is that all about?
How about
that was
not once, twice, they brought me back to, or they originally, through the my wonderful, the people at Ludwig Drums, I was the halftime at the University of Illinois Marching Illini football game. They did a Buddy Rich
halftime
tribute, but like it was Buddy Rich music.
Mm-hmm.
Roll my drums out to the 50-yard line, and basically it's a Potter drum solo, so anybody that complains that I play too loud and the music's too loud or the bands are too big, no, not too big, I played in the center of the football field because they can't move my drums around, but how many guys in the group? Or how many? 300?
200? 300? Yeah.
I get this wrong all the time. I know the
U
of I.
It's not 300.
Is it more than 300?
It's less.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a... The fighting,
a lot of people.
Marching Illini. I don't know if I'm allowed to. What was that? They have the big Indian guy running around, or they don't have him anymore.
Are you allowed to say Indian anymore?
Well, no, but the Illiniwek. I mean, do you remember back in my Steve Dahl days? Do you remember when Teenage Radiation would play U of I and Dahl would put on that
headdress.
Indian headdress and jump around?
That.
I mean, but now you go back, it's a little less. But yeah, so I did that
twice,
like 2 years ago, and then they brought me back again. Last year, again, to do it.
I just thought that was a strange-looking picture.
Okay.
Kids.
Is that like that's complimentary, though.
It just
means strange.
It's passive-aggressive.
It's just unique. I mean.
But, yeah, so I got to play half times at two of the games, and you could probably see it.
It was fun.
It was
great.
It was unbelievable.
Amazing.
Barry Hauser is the leader of the music department there, and, yeah, it was really something.
It's on YouTube.
There you go.
That's my press person.
Right there.
It's on YouTube. And
it's on YouTube. Go check
for $4.90. Actually, for $200, you could probably get me to come play at your school. So I'm driving past Valparaiso. I'm going past the. Well, for $40, I'll play in your house.
You go to the house.
I'm talking about like Valparaiso High School or wherever I'm at, Maryville or something. So those pictures of me with a big marching band behind me, those are real. It's not Photoshop.
Something else besides the Walk of Fame, you guys are doing a big centennial gig with Danny.
Yeah.
Yes.
From Chicago.
Yes.
Now, this is one of many. As
yes.
I was looking through the website, I mean, you've done Dennis Chambers, Dave Weckl, all these guys have sat in. What is the one with Danny all about?
Oh, well, this is throughout the years that when Buddy passed, Kathy originally
did something with Phil Collins.
I did.
Oh, do you remember that?
Yes, that was
but,
fantastic.
I mean, Kathy
we've been
did
doing memorial concerts.
Yeah, actual memorial concerts
89.
Where you've got
everybody had
probably like 6 to 7 of the world's greatest drummers coming and sitting in. So what we're doing now, or you know, and that those are the last one we did was. We did. Now
did
I talk
do?
Like it's we. But I was actually involved in some of the, I could really.
You actually have.
Yeah,
you
if
are
I could
involved.
Change my name to Greg Rich, believe me, I would. But I can't. I too have a father, and I'm Potter. But I mean, believe me, if I could put a turtleneck on and wear a necklace and walk around and be Buddy, I would. But I can't. I'm kidding. So the last one we did was in London. At the London Palladium in 2012. I mean, that had Ian Paice from Deep Purple, Ginger Baker, John Blackwell, God rest his soul, from Prince, Dave Weckl.
Gavin Harrison,
Porcupine Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that was the last time we had
a big
stage, a room like the London Palladium. Whatever. Those are big things to put together. So what you see now, what we're doing like with Danny Serafin,
mm-hmm.
or what we did with Dave, we had Dave Weckl with us in London a couple months ago in May or so. You're basically mini versions of that.
Okay.
Because, yeah, the other ones are big undertakings. It's like, it would be like having the Super Bowl every Sunday.
Right.
No, we just have a game. So the thing with Danny Serafin is just, yeah, like Kathy had said, over the years, Buddy loved Danny, the band, and his playing. So it just worked out that we were going to be
in. You can
in
hear a lot of Buddy Rich and Danny's clips.
Yes.
In the early Chicago stuff.
Absolutely.
Right. And I'm just saying, so it turned out that with the us being in Palm Springs, California with that, we're going to be right and go drive down to Hollywood, Catalina's, and play a club where have one guy come
now,
Daniel,
how do you,
come on.
Do you do that with double drum kits? Some, how do you do that?
Well, yes. Yeah, some the bigger shows, yes. It matters the venue size. Like when we were in London, yeah, we did two drum kits just at Ronnie Scott's a couple months ago. This thing at Catalina is a little bit smaller, so now we'll just have one kit, and Danny will get up and play. But I believe we have something else scheduled
in November
in New York, where you will have two kits. And
Danny's going to come back again.
Danny will come back again and have two kits. So yeah, but mostly what you're doing is getting up there and. Even with Danny or whatever, your drummer, you get up and you're playing a Buddy tune, and it's honoring Buddy as opposed to coming out and bringing out your drum set and you turn it into
a
Journey tribute or a drum clinic. I mean, it's
a tribute.
Well, let's not go there.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, some of these guys get up there and they're going to make
their
career on playing Groovin' Hard,
right.
But then
right.
It turns into a 13-minute drum solo, and yes, the seven drummers that came there went, now do you see why, Jesus himself, God himself doesn't play like that? Yes, we understand that,
right.
But this is a Buddy Rich tribute, and that's what Kathy really tries to keep. Why she lets me do it, we still can't figure out, but...
That's not so.
That's not true, but I'm saying that the motivation behind that scene is that Danny is a guy that... Kathy is,
and I've
had him play one
because,
of the shows.
You know, he's been a friend for years, and Buddy loved him, and we've just never, you know, it's never clicked that he was available when we were doing whatever we were doing. So now
he lives in California.
Now he won't leave us alone.
Ouch! That's another story.
Watch your back.
I was just watch her back. My God, you have to have security. I think we're going to hire Whitney Houston's old security guard, from what I saw on television yesterday, just to keep his hands off her. My gosh! Between Gene Simmons, Rod Stewart, and Danny Serafin, I believe we're divorced. And we haven't even been married yet. But I mean, at this point, we're going through proceedings, and I'm getting half the house, the half with the drums,
with the swimming pool.
With the I get the
there
pool.
You go.
With the wink, you see my new creature costume I'm going to have.
Speaking of Groovin' Hard, we're going to play the newer version of it featuring Greg on the drums here. And we're going to come back. We're going to find out a little bit about the stylistic changes, or were there any? Well, listen up close. We'll talk on the other side once again with Kathy and Greg. We'll be right back. Buddy Rich Band with Greg Potter on the drums there. That is Groovin' Hard. How long ago, guys, was that recorded?
About two years ago.
2 years ago.
Wow. My guest, Greg Potter, he is the drummer and co-band leader, band leader. What exactly is your title?
Well, let's not get crazy.
In my head? In real life, I think it's my band.
And
I think,
okay.
Yeah, in real life.
And Kathy Rich is with us as well.
Ask Kathy.
That's why I'm wondering if you guys are like the co-leaders, because you're always like together. You're like joined at the hip.
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird, symbiotic, crazy relationship that we have.
That's called obsessive, crazy, i.e. look into Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's. The only difference is I don't hit her.
The only difference is we're not on crack.
Okay, she had the drugs, I had the drink, and then we had them both.
Wow.
When you guys are playing, I mean, that sounds very old school. Do you use Buddy's original charts?
Absolutely.
Do you guys improvise at all?
It's all
the Buddy's
original
charts.
And then the band is really his. The only problem with the band is me. You know what I mean? That recording was 90, there may have been...
I think there were two that weren't.
Maybe two guys, we go drummer geek on you or whatever, but I mean, it's a drumming like dream. You're not just playing Buddy Rich music.
Right.
I mean, these are all the men, because all these men that played with Buddy, they were in college, right out of college. So they were only 17, 18, or maybe what, 20? 23 would be the old guy in Buddy's band.
Right.
So now they're what, early 50s, 50s,
yeah.
Late 50s, whatever. These men are still viable, whatever. So we get to play, or I get to play all these tunes. So when you hear that, it's just like, wow, it sounds like the Buddy Rich Band with Potter playing.
Actually, it sounded really nice.
What was that?
You want me to say it again?
Yes,
say it out loud.
That
sounded really nice. No. I said it sounded good.
Wait, let me talk to the other Tom. Could you turn her volume on the mic up a little bit? What did you say? Now, Kathy, did you, for a second?
She threw out a compliment there.
And then she finds out it's me, and she goes, damn it, if I could just get Weckl on the phone, we can get Chick Corea to give him up for a minute.
Speaking of the band, there's two questions about the band I have. One is, it's billed as the Buddy Rich Band, and then there's also the Buddy Rich Legacy Band. What's the difference, or is there a difference?
There's no Buddy Rich Legacy Band.
We sometimes put alumni.
Okay.
Because some of the shows are extremely alumni heavy. Like, we basically have bands in every city. Okay. Well, not in every city, but we have a band in L.A., made up of Buddy alumni, meaning men that played with them at some point in their career. One in New York, one in Chicago, one in London.
Wow.
Buddy's career span.
He went to a lot of guys.
I guess.
In his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, when you pick up the phone and call them, they throw everything else that they're doing to the side and just want to do it. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
the New York band, they're all – who are they on – who's what's the horn player?
They're all doing Broadway
shows. Who's he on tour with right now? That he goes, well, I'll get
– Steely Dan.
He's out with
– out with Steely Dan.
Well, one guy died. I guess they're stopping.
Away,
for a
Donald
minute.
Fagan.
Right.
God bless him. But I mean, these men – it's like, well, I'm doing a – we're doing the new Star Wars film soundtrack.
So he's on tour with Fagan, and he's going to leave to jump with you guys.
Because these men revert back to, like, their college days would be – and that's what it is. We were just in London with – the band, I mean, guys that played with Buddy, they bring out their, like, the photo albums, scrapbooks, and they just and that's what Kathy wanted to do.
That's the enthusiasm. That's why we do what we do, is that, you know, we're bringing, no one obviously is ever going to be Buddy. That's not what this is about. It's about bringing the spirit of him, bringing the music to people that, you know, miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an experience. When you come and see this, it's not what you expect. It's nothing retro. It's nothing old. The music is fresh. It sounds amazing. The musicianship is incredible. And, you know, it's a great night.
Musicianship
is good.
Quite incredible. And I did get a new haircut. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I got a perfect haircut for radio. We've been out with...
And the fact that you use the charts, all the bands can sound the same.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Getting
Absolutely.
Back to, even though we have all these bands, basically Kathy and I show up with this Humes and Berg magic
case
full of music. And these men that have played this stuff and have gone on to...
Yeah, amazing careers.
Yeah, amazing.
Chuck Finley, who's done everything.
Every Steely Dan, every Earth and Wire. Earth and Wire. I don't know if you know them. That's one of the bands that is out of Philadelphia. But Earth, Wind, and Fire was more of this funk group. But I'm saying these men have gone on to, like,
incredible
real careers. Not quite like Potter careers. You ever tell you about the time I played with Off-Broadway? I mean, these men really play on Broadway.
Right.
I played in Off-Broadway. a version of it from 1997. Well, Greg, that was only 17 years after their album. Yes, doesn't matter. I played with them. I stayed in time throughout.
After the Black and Blonde stuff?
Yes, it was when Kenny Hark, their drummer, was doing those the sideshow circus things with Ozfest.
Yeah, right.
So he would go on tour during the summer, and then I became Kenny Hark for the summer. But I'm still trying to impress Kathy with the fact that I played with Off Broadway, but I just can't.
I don't think that's going to work.
No. Well, you should when you see her Rolodex, she'll tell you about her dad.
When it comes to name dropping, I think she's got everyone beat.
Yes, and there's no way you're going to impress her with the drumming either, being that she knew Buddy Rich, because she knew him really good.
We're talking about the band having charts and sight reading, and that brings me to something I had read a long time ago, that Buddy didn't read music, that he played by ear. He'd hear a song once or maybe twice, and he'd have it down.
Yes. Incredible.
Greg, what are you like as far? Do you read? Do you play by ear? Are you one of those ear guys?
I could barely read the newspaper, let alone... Yes, I do, but yes, in real life, I'm sure somewhere at North Texas State or Berkeley, they have Buddy Rich stuff charted out, like Kathy always, whenever we do that. Because, I do. I'll read along. I'll follow a chart, but most of it, if you don't feel it, don't do it.
Okay.
I'm not saying that people that read don't feel it, but I'm saying what we've done with the band, we have found that it's been by the time we go and play a chart at a show, I'm not sitting with a piece of music. Yes, I know other drummers would do that. No, the way we've approached it would be I know my stuff, and then when we get with the band, and even when these men sight read this stuff, remember, they played it. Yeah, maybe 30, 40 years ago, but it comes back. Mm-hmm. And
is there a little bit of freedom in there as far as when you're playing, or do you play strictly to the chart?
Well, I try to keep it as like authentic, but like I'll say from the beginning, in no way are you. Are you going to cop that guy? And like, see that? It's just like Buddy. That's not the motivation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when you see like a tribute band and you see the best Beatle tribute band and this man gets every nuance of Paul McCartney. He not only is right-handed, but now he's flipped the bass and he's playing left-handed. We're not doing that with Buddy Rich, where I come out with the turtleneck and the Ankh necklace and the what would we do with my hair if we ever tried that?
Yeah.
But I'm saying to the point where, like, my God, Potter has become Buddy Rich.
No, that's not the idea.
That's not the idea of this. But when it comes to playing the tunes, these audiences that come out, you really do have, as much as we're getting, say, new fans, younger fans, mm-hmm. you do have people that have seen Buddy 10, 12, 20, you know, because that's what you get, diehard fans. They want that stuff to be close, and I get it close. I mean, just don't read what they say on the internet because they're not always right.
That brings me to ask this question, and that is, as we mentioned in the beginning, and we'll touch a little more on it a bit, you have a very hard rock, almost metal background during the MTV days, during even Steve Dahl days in Chicago, parodies and things. So you're a rock drummer. You got the two-tone hair. You dress all snappy rock and roll, and now you're stepping into the big band era. Obviously, musically, you fit, but...
Yes.
What about the hardline old school fans? Were they accepting at first, or did you have a lot to prove?
I have Gucci loafers.
Purists are tough.
Yeah, no, the people are, I believe the word brutal.
Okay.
I don't know. I really don't actually want to start comparing the internet to ISIS. But let's just say no, these people they're beyond brutal. I understand it. I mm-hmm. respect it. Like I said, in no way have I taken on this, or has Kathy allowed me to. In no way is there a disrespect level where I feel I don't know, that like, say, what I'm doing is a joke. I'm fooling around. I talk in jest and I giggle and laugh about things. But, well, realistically, too, we're not curing cancer. It's
right.
Buddy Rich music. Not that that's not serious, but it's just...
I don't know. We take the music very seriously because he did. So there's an aspect to this that you have to take very seriously. And then, you know, you have to spin it a little bit, because if I had gotten, say, Dave Weckl or Steve Smith or one of those guys to come and take the band out, then people go, yeah, of course. Right. And that's right. How it should be. And look, he plays just like Buddy, and it's Buddy, Buddy, Buddy. But the idea behind this, when we first had the idea of even doing this with the band, we just went in a studio and recorded two tracks, put a band together here in Chicago, went to a studio to see how it would work. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Now, Kathy, are you living in Chicago now?
I am.
Okay.
Yes. I've been here for 6 years.
Her and I are in a real relationship. You know what I mean?
It wouldn't have worked if I was still living in California.
Yeah, that's
because I couldn't clean her house or do her laundry.
No.
But he was talking.
But I'm saying, so originally, the idea was, you know, we take it seriously. But when we saw that, you know, because Greg comes from a different genre of music, mm-hmm. it actually fit, because we want to come out and bring it to kids, bring it to young people. And just by virtue of the way he looks, you know, people are going to focus.
Right.
And then when you see that he also flipped around and completely changed the way he plays, I mean, from, you know, playing this way to playing traditional grip, is not easy to change your complete style of playing, and then playing from rock to jazz, and not just jazz, but Buddy's jazz.
Right.
So to be able to do that is a testament to his musicianship, you know.
Do you still play rock stuff, or are you strictly doing Buddy Rich? Okay.
I still got side projects. Yeah, I mean, I'm still I think they call it like a gigging musician. Yeah, I still play, but we were talking originally. You were asking me about how rotten the people have been.
Right. The purists.
But we don't really care. Purists,
but that's the other
that's
thing
the other
too. You will. They're upset about the wardrobing. Buddy would never wear pants that tight. Buddy would never wear a cowboy shirt.
He would never wear his hair like this.
Buddy, so they go beyond the music and just...
Well, see, that's the thing.
That's what you get.
They focus on the physical, even though they all like, well, yeah, he's a great player, but...
But, you know what I mean? So that's when you start getting into, wait a second now.
If you took to heart everything that you read, be it good or bad, you'd never leave your house.
Right.
So we have to sort of put that aside, know that what we're doing comes from the heart, and that Buddy would love, because this is exactly what he wanted me to do.
Right.
Keep
I was going to ask you,
working.
did he bestow this on you and say, keep the music alive?
Absolutely. When he was leaving us, he called me aside and said, you know, here's what I'd like you to do. And, you know, do something for young people. Try to keep the band working. Keep the music alive. You know, that was his whole thing, because he spent his entire career on the road bringing this music to everyone around the world. And so why should it stop? Just because, you know, he's no longer there to do it. So now it's my job
to keep it going.
That's it.
Something else, and we're going to talk about your first meeting with Buddy in a minute here, but Buddy Rich, considered one of the most influential drummers ever, has impacted every genre of music. His technique, his power, his speed is legendary. He's even been called the world's greatest drummer by many, many trades, including modern drummer. How much trepidation, Greg, was there to step into the role with the Buddy Rich Band? I mean, yeah, you're good and you're flashy and you had a lot of chops and you had a lot of history. But now all of a sudden Kathy says, hey, Greg, why not kickstart the band going again? I mean, there had to be some fear in your heart at that point, because he was your hero. How do you step into those shoes?
I don't know. You just scared me. I don't know if I really thought about that.
But we just didn't think.
I probably just didn't think. But no, everything you say, if you don't think, that doesn't cross my mind. I mean, I don't want to sound like, because all this stuff, or some of this stuff actually sounds fake. But I'm saying, we did this recording in July. By April of the...
That we just played? You're talking about that recording?
No.
Oh.
When we did the first...
No, that first recording where Kathy and I... Right,
because it works.
We were talking about see if it works. Because also, a quick sidebar, whatever. The reason we were thinking of things... Kathy, we were saying, did these Buddy Rich Memorial concerts, where you had like 8 of the world's best drummers playing Buddy Rich music, whatever. It always seemed that whenever she'd bring out a rock drummer, mm-hmm. be it the most famous of all of them, was when Neil Peart came out and played with the Buddy Rich Band in 1991, when I met the beautiful Kathy Rich. in 91 at the Ritz in New York. But here came the drummer from Rush to play with the Buddy Rich Band. Now, as it turned out, his playing was, like you said, the purists. Absolutely, it would be like Shark Week when they throw those pieces of...
Little chum.
They chum that water. Those sharks, they don't just sniff it, they eat them. And it looks messy. Or it looks like, you know, the Addams Family when they put... They put the thing in the piranha tank. I mean, you pull out the skeleton. They just ate Neil alive. But there was a line around the building to watch this man play with it. Mm-hmm. Then she brings in Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You'd think Neil Peart's out of his mind. Right. This guy belongs doing construction on 65 right. coming through Valparaiso. I mean, this guy, God bless him. Nice guy, real nice guy. But I'm talking...
Not Buddy Rich.
You know, doesn't material. He have a band called the Bombastic Meat Bats?
Yes,
I mean, you think a Buddy Rich purist goes, my God, Greg Potter with the hair and the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the Bombastic Meat Bat will be here? God, give me Potter with his mom's clothes. Tight pants? I'll take the tight pants. I don't care. But leave the Bombastic Meat Bat. How many times have I said this?
Four.
Leave him out of it. Okay, yet... Each time you'd bring one of these guys,
Phil Collins,
yeah. You know, these men aren't known for their jazz. Not when you bring Peter Erskine out or you bring Louis Belson out, or which she has. I mean, God rest their souls. Many of these men are no longer with us. But she would put them on the shows, too. And yes, you had, that's the perfect fit. My God, why didn't Louis Belson take Buddy's place?
Right.
Yeah, it would be great if it was 1956.
Right.
Or something. I mean, what Buddy told Kathy to do, or what Kathy knows about. Remember, Kathy's not an internet blog. That was her dad.
Right.
She knows what her dad thought. You know what I mean? As opposed to, I don't know, Buddy wouldn't have done that.
Well, that's the funny part about reading these people.
Yeah, speak I mean, Kathy's got
on the internet because they, you know, obviously everyone that sits behind a computer is all of a sudden, you know, they
an
have
expert.
A PhD
right,
in
right.
everything.
We've got meteorologists now.
Yes,
we've got political
everything.
Analysts. It was, wait a second, weren't you?
Well, Buddy would never have.
Buddy,
how
wouldn't.
Do you know what he would have liked?
Right.
Yeah. I sat with the man my whole life, so I do right. know what he would like, and I do know what he would appreciate now. So there you go.
Okay, now I've lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
But
anyway,
but
we were talking
no.
about the other drummers not fitting in and how you.
Well,
decided.
I'm saying how this you were saying
how it came about,
how
right.
we came about, and I'm just saying, or we were that. Yeah, it seemed that these quote unquote rock drummers or people that came from this
brings people out,
kind of brings younger audiences out,
right.
and that's what Buddy wanted to do.
Yes.
If you look at Buddy's career, I mean, you
Young.
Look at what he was recording Beatle tunes when the Beatles were still on
the charts.
So, do you think jazz purists were digging Buddy? And like Kathy said, my dad wasn't one of those hang out at the bebop club and jazz.
Right.
He was on the Muppet Show. He was on
right.
the Carson Show.
I remember that.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, Buddy was a star. He wasn't just the drummer, and I'm not saying taking away from his talent, but I'm saying where his head was at. The man was playing Beatles charts. He played a Doors
charts
during the time that these
he
bands
played a Doors
were.
Song? Mm-hmm.
Oh, because Kathy loved the
I never
Doors.
Heard
I love
that.
The Doors. What? It's on an album called Buddy and Soul, live
wow.
at the Whiskey a Go Go.
Yeah, Gino Vannelli tunes, Storm yeah. at Sun yeah. Up. I mean, so the guy was, he wasn't thinking all like, yeah, let me just keep reliving the 40s and what I did with the Dorsey Band.
Right.
But he was, and I'm not saying that, oh, so but Potter's become Buddy. We don't mean that, or yeah. I don't mean that in no way, because originally you said, how did you take on this? I'm not thinking like that. In no way did I go, finally, someone has realized that I've gone from Ayatollah, another kid in the crawl, stay in time, all is forgiven. Now, Potter is Buddy Rich. No.
No.
Potter happens to... I talk in a third person, so when they write the hate mail, it mm-hmm. goes to Potter, not me. Don't, just send it to Potter. I'm not even going to read it. But I'm saying it was a matter of... we were able to get the music in front of younger people mm-hmm. by the recordings, and then just the essence of the band is a little fresher than... some of these.
And plus the fact that if the audience hadn't embraced it,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't still be doing it.
Right.
Because there wouldn't be an
so
audience.
So he wanted
for
you
it.
To make it contemporary. To
yes.
keep true to the roots, but
yes.
make it contemporary.
Absolutely. And you know, do it young. He was all about looking forward, not looking back.
Right.
So that was the whole idea. Keep it going, keep it fresh, put it in front of young people, and let's see where this goes. And obviously, if it hadn't gone anywhere, we wouldn't be doing it.
Right. Now, how long have you been on the throne?
that's funny.
If you may say that to me, Elvis.
Not that throne. Oh. The drum throne.
No, we've been doing 5 years.
Okay.
And, yes, it's been a uphill climb. I don't mean but like she's saying, if it wasn't working, it wouldn't be working, and thank the people above, along with Buddy, who I know is pacing right now. Each time I'm doing something, he's going like, son of a gun. If I would have stopped them at Mr. Kelly's in Chicago in 72, that little son of a gun would be living in, like, Iowa, and Kathy never would have met him.
The ironies of life.
Right. But I'll talk about meeting Buddy at another time.
As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that right after this next tune. Tom Maloney has dug up and found Buddy's treatment of Soul Kitchen from the Doors. We're going to play that right now for those of you that want to hear how contemporary Buddy Rich was. And we're going to find out how this young man, Greg Potter, met his idol first time. Tapping into the Doors catalog there. That is Buddy Rich, the Buddy Rich Band, and Soul Kitchen. And that goes back to when, Kathy? That album?
69?
69. Wow.
Yes.
With me, Kathy Rich, Buddy's daughter, Greg Potter, who is the drummer in the Buddy Rich Band. I always want to say group, but band. Now, Buddy had a big band for a long time. Then he scaled it down to a smaller group, correct?
Well, he had a club in New York called Buddy's Place in 74 because he wanted to be home a little more. So he opened a club and sort of put the big band on hold and had a small group in the club and didn't like that because his whole vibe was, I want to hear the horns. I like sitting in the middle of this music. Mm-hmm. So he would have the small band and then go on the road and have the big band. So finally, when they closed the club, he said, that's it. I'm going back on the road with the band and kept the big band forever.
Okay. That was let's do a little history here with Greg. You were telling me off air briefly that you first met him when you were...
I was a very young man.
Like eight?
Yeah, like eight, you know, eight, nine.
10,
I mean, whatever. I was young. I mean, young enough that I still lived with my parents.
Those years off.
Wait, that was only 8 years ago.
I was 4 months old.
I was a little kid.
Okay.
And I was young once, too. Don't be fooled by this two-tone
still not
hair.
Legal to be in the bar.
Correct.
Exactly.
Okay.
So basically, my father takes me to a nightclub in Chicago called Mr. Kelly's, which turns out to be like the most famous, hippest, coolest. I mean, now that it's no longer there. What is it now?
Gibson's
Steakhouse or something. But I'm saying my father takes me down. I would have been, 9 or 10 years old.
12.
Take me to a nightclub in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Different time then. Just crazy, you know.
People weren't so politically correct.
No, cops weren't busting heads, man. The man wasn't down on me. Chicago 7 wasn't a group made up of the Chicago Bears.
I have relatives in that situation.
Oh, exactly. That's a whole nother story.
That's another story.
But yeah, so I mean, but whatever. 70s, mm-hmm. I'm a little kid. I'm a drummer. I've been a drummer my whole existence. You know, I mean, I've always been a drummer since I was a tiny little man. So my dad takes me to this nightclub, Mr. Kelly's. I see Buddy Rich. I mean, getting into the club, like I think I was explaining before, imagine today trying to take a 9-year-old into a nightclub.
Right.
A man taking in a little boy to a nightclub. Well, you'd either be a hero or you'd be the DCFS would be taking the kid away.
Right.
Or my dad would have a reality television show and I wouldn't have to play drums. Okay. So gets me into this nightclub. I see Buddy Rich. And when Buddy's done playing, he goes to the restroom. And now this is a question I ask Kathy all the time because, you know, I played in some bands. Why would he go back into the audience to use the restroom? Usually they have like a restroom for the guys in the back or in the kitchen or something.
Right.
Whatever. But
maybe
Buddy,
there was no restroom in the dressing room.
Whatever. But Buddy like walks off the stage.
Finishes through the crowd.
Through the crowd and goes up to the men's room. So my dad, you know, I'm standing with my dad in the back and my dad, we follow Buddy into the men's room. So, Buddy,
on many levels.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, actually,
a stalker.
I'm in therapy twice a week, and believe me, out of one of the days of the twice a week, I basically talk about following Buddy into men's rooms. It's creepy, but with my dad, or I think he was my dad. Is that my dad?
I think so. Hopefully.
Okay, this is really live on the air.
This is live on the air.
We want to see you next week. On the air, not working at the Baker Square on the corner. Not a sponsor. Okay, so we follow Buddy into the men's room. By the time we get into the men's room, Buddy is in the men's room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's standing up, not sitting. I don't have to get that graphic, but I mean, he's taking care of business. My father goes up and taps him on the shoulder while the man's working. And he turns to my dad and goes, you know, could you give me a minute here? So right now, I don't know if you know Buddy's personality, but the guy's probably a little edgy to begin with.
Mm.
Now it's probably midnight in a nightclub. He turns around and sees an old man with a 9-year-old boy, probably dressed like one of the Cowsills or something. Who knows what my mom had me dressed like then. I had these little matching denim outfits, you know, with the denim and plaid. You've seen the pictures.
Yes.
With some kind of hairdo. I'm sure it was bad. It just, it didn't look good. Like I said, nowadays it'd be great. I'd have my own show. I'd be... So Buddy turns and, you know, what is it, pal? My dad's like, well, this is my son. And before my dad can finish, Buddy goes, I know, he's a drummer since he's been this tall, puts his hand on my head, taps me on the head, and goes, since he's been this tall. And at the time, I had, there was this thing back when I was a kid, because I might be a little older than all you, a thing called a Polaroid camera.
I remember that.
You remember that. So I took a picture. I used to have a, you would take a picture of a picture in a magazine, whatever. I had this little Polaroid picture of Buddy behind the drums, and he sees me holding it, and he grabs, he had a pen, or he told his guy to get him a pen, whatever. He autographed this little picture for me, sends me on my way. But wow. I did get to meet Buddy Rich, but let's just say the man was
busy.
Just a little busy.
Yeah.
Just
like not the place you want to meet
somebody. That's actually pretty kind of him to do that when you're interrupting his business.
Yes. But, and in the men's room, and there's other men there, so he's probably put on. And then, again, what's a kid doing in a nightclub
right.
in a men's room?
Wow.
If he's not making money for somebody.
But so, years later, you met him again. So and that picture's on the internet.
Exactly. So that would have been 70s. So now we go to the 80s. Now I got some stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? I got at least two or three teenage radiation TV shows or something. I mean, I'm like, I get introduced to Buddy by the people at from the Slingerland Drum Company who made my drums mm-hmm. for my whole teenage radiation days. Not Ludwig, who does it now, but this.
Right.
But I'm saying I'm getting introduced to Buddy by who I think is. You know, when you get introduced, like say, like in Modern Drummer magazine, introduced me to Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
She still could care less. But you know what I mean. You get introduced by someone. It's better than just showing up in a men's room with your dad
right.
or whatever.
Did you remind him of that? That was you when you met him the second time?
He didn't have the opportunity.
Well, yeah, because let's see how this one goes. As you can see from the picture.
Just as good.
Buddy was not even looking at me. He was talking to the guy behind me. He was looking at the time. This would have been in the 80s where I guess there weren't music stars. He needed drum heads. And he's like, hey, man, has anybody got any? I need snare drum heads, man. And he was like talking drum talk. And I was with the people from the Slingerland Drum Company. But we were in Berwyn, Illinois. And the Slingerland factory was in Niles. So no one's driving down Harlem Avenue for an hour and a half to go get Buddy drum. He's like, no, Buddy, we don't have any. Man, I really, you know, we're on our way after this. All the time, Potter's trying to get himself, or I'm trying to get myself, to get this picture taken.
Right.
So if you look at that
picture.
You're like
positioning yourself.
I'm positioning myself. I'm getting up there again. I have something for him to sign because I don't care. I do the same thing when I'm at the drag strip. If I see the real Buddy Riches in front of me, I'm getting him to sign something. I'm touching his shirt. I'm doing something. Not anything bad. I don't mean I'm doing anything bad. But I mean, I'm going to do something, whatever. So I'm standing there like with a picture again. But now I'm 1920. I'm not
okay.
10. So whatever. He's looking behind me. I'm looking at the photographer. You're going to get this. You're going to get this, right? And they take the picture. So there I'm not even looking at him. And I had just gotten
it's the side of your face kind of and the side of his other face.
Yeah, I mean,
away.
But it's still Potter. And now when you look at it,
in the same airspace.
But it looks like Photoshop now because we are not looking at each other. And I had just gotten the introduction from the drum company. This is Greg Potter. He's one of our whatever. So now that I'm with the beautiful and lovely Kathy, she explains to me, first
that
of all,
been the kiss of
that's
death.
The kiss of death. Never, no matter what. She'll tell you about the great Carl Palmer. She'll tell you about all the great. You never get introduced to Buddy as
the next thing.
Or not or next
the,
buddy, but just like, this is our
whatever.
And the Slingerland people were just being nice because they knew of my, and when they entered, when they introduced me, say, to Louis Belson. You could say that to Louis Belson. He didn't care.
Right.
Hey, that's cool, man. What's going on? Like, Buddy's not that guy.
Right.
Whatever. So I got the introduction so between my dad tapping him on the shoulder as he was in a men's room when I'm 10 to when I'm getting introduced by the drum company at 20,
no.
I never met Buddy on a good foot.
Ba-da-ba. Thank you, James.
Thanks, James Brown. I'm channeling
James Brown.
But I never was able to say, but that is why I think now when I'm in Palm Springs, I'll be with the whole family.
They'll pay.
I'll tell them. If Buddy would have just been nicer, I'd be nicer to Kathy. Maybe like around the house.
You're paying him back to this day.
Yeah, because that's why I tell her sometimes if I'm, you know, I just hold her real hard and squeeze her and say, this is because your dad wasn't nice to me. Because I see these other pictures. The drummer, who's the drummer with Tim McGraw? What's the guy's name?
Billy Mason.
Oh, I saw Buddy. He let me sit behind his drums.
He was hugging me.
He was hugging me. He's got pictures of Buddy, like, touching him and stuff. Buddy wouldn't even touch me.
And now you're in his band.
But I touch his daughter.
and
well, not, you know, like, nice. I mean, I'm just saying, though, but I mean, like, that came out wrong. I mean, but I'll make him pay. Well, not pay. But I just wanted him to, like, yeah, like this Billy Mason guy, you know, he's got pictures standing by Buddy's kit. Then another drummer, who do we meet that the
Buddy
kid
let him play?
Well, not only let him play, but the kid goes, you know, my snare drum is broke. I, you know, Buddy goes, here,
take this one.
Wow.
Took his snare drum and gave it to him. My dad followed him to a restroom. Couldn't I have gotten a ride on the bus? Couldn't I have maybe give me the shirt off?
But you're on the bus now. Isn't it the same bus?
You are on the bus. It's
the same bus,
a modern
isn't it?
Bus.
I'll sit in his swimming pool and just sit in there a long time and drink a lot of water. You know why. It kills me. I wish he would have just, because I hear these nice stories. But he was nice to me, but it's like the situations mm-hmm. I was in, there
Those
was no
like
wrong place, wrong time.
Situations where he wouldn't be able to relax and you sit and have a conversation with you. I mean, there were people who went on the bus and he sat in his seat and you come on the bus and he talks to you. And
see, she's got
to
rub it in. Just yeah. rub it. Oh,
all those other people, except you, Greg.
Except you. I think he
basically,
just didn't.
Basically,
he said, nice hair, kid.
Basically. At that point,
that's what he
you
said.
Look at the picture. He looked at me while they're introducing him as Potter. Plays with this, and he's on the radio, and he just look and he like you know as he's talking to this fellow, I need some drumming. Nice hair, kid.
Wow.
Yeah, I need. And then
even then,
but if you look at the picture, it's like self-explanatory because you see Buddy could care less. But I did shake his hand.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the man's hands were softer than my mother's.
Wow.
Then again, my mother's a truck driver, but. But I mean, Buddy was like perfect.
You're talking about the snare drum heads.
Yes,
Buddy. I'm gonna change the subject just a little bit here.
Please get me off the spin out.
Buddy was endorsed Remo.
Yes,
he was known for Remo.
Remo, his whole
you
career.
Have. I was gonna bring some Remo drum heads for you to sign, and then yes, I find out that you're working with Aquarian. Now, why
yes,
Aquarian?
Well, Aquarian.
You've been with them forever.
Yeah, I've been with Aquarian forever.
Okay,
and. One of the things about the business, which, you know, if we not to go drum geek or go business on you, companies have been with me my whole career that have really stood by, you know, stood mm-hmm. through many bands.
So good there's ones, a loyalty
and
there.
There's a yes. loyalty there, and okay. I believe that's really important. And I'm not Buddy Rich. Yes, it's true. Buddy would play any drum set that would pay for Buddy's wife's account at iMagnon or Neiman Marcus. God bless him, but I mean, Kathy will tell you, yeah, there were times that Buddy would just go,
whatever.
Whatever's there, man. Let's
do it.
Let's do this. Okay. I didn't really, I'm gonna be.
They'll pay.
In time, they'll pay. But no, so the Aquarian has been with me probably like right after Steve Dahl days.
Okay.
I mean, so like late 80s. Into
I wasn't familiar with Aquarian.
Oh, Aquarian is it's a company.
I went in to buy some, and the clerk goes, "Good drum choice." I'm like,
"Oh, there you go."
Okay,
oh, yeah, they're
because the guy argued with me. Goes, Buddy Rich plays only Remo.
Yes,
and I said, "But it's not Buddy Rich; it's Buddy Rich Band."
Right. Yes, and he's right. But I was an Aquarian guy. I play Sabian cymbals. Buddy only played Zildjian.
Zildjian, right?
I play Sabian.
But the Aquarian is owned by Roy Burns.
Right,
great
Aquarian is owned
also
by Roy Burns.
Yes,
famous big band.
Who's friends with Buddy?
Yes.
Friends
so
with
there's
that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yes, and just the fact that at this point, you're right. Buddy's been gone for a while.
Yeah,
and things do change. And
yes.
I know people love the vintage antique thing, but you and I both know if you buy that 1964 Corvette. The thing still does drive like a 64 Corvette.
Right,
beautiful
right.
piece of machinery in 64, but things get modernized and things
yes.
are cool. And so I'm saying what we're doing here with, yes, so Aquarian Drum Company, they do make, these are actually, we've already played on these, but that's all I had when you called.
Right.
But Aquarian makes a special Buddy Rich drum head, which is basically made to the specs of what Buddy used back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but you could put them in modern day applications.
Okay.
Because if you do look at Buddy's drums, because Ludwig also is making a replica of what Buddy used from 1979 to 1985.
Amazing,
exact, you know, to all the specs. And like I said, you get the vintage antique feel out of
with today's
look,
engineering.
Right.
But it's a modern day drum kit, which is, yeah, if you're going to drop a lot of money on a drum set, you're going to want to use it more than, look, honey, I just spent what we're going to pay rent for the next 8 months.
Right.
But I can't use it because it's kind of flimsy.
Can't
and
take it on the road.
Can't take
cars,
it on.
Right.
So that, with the aquarium thing, yes, they make the this Buddy Rich commemorative 100 centennial drum head, and that's what I use, and that's what I've always used. Sabian cymbals, Ludwig drums. Many companies have been with me, and then they might not necessarily have be what Buddy used, but Buddy used drums. He used Slingerland, Rogers,
Ludwig.
Radio King, Fibes. I mean, he used and
really paid off the
yeah,
but
yeah, Kathy's mom has jewelry to prove that those companies did pay.
Yes.
Speaking of Kathy, we've got a song where Buddy introduces you on stage. Now, give me a lead up to this. It's That's Enough.
Oh, That's Enough, yes.
A lead up, give me a little scenario of what led to this and how old you were and where this was and all that
this
stuff.
They were doing a live album in London at Ronnie Scott's. The album's called Rich in London. Good title. And my girlfriends at the time were the daughters of John Hendricks, who is famous for being Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. Famous vocal group. And they taught me a song that they at the time told me that their father had written called That's Enough, which is a gospel thing. And so we were singing it, and we were in the dressing room in between sets, and we sang it for him. And he said, his arranger was sitting in the dressing room. He said, I want to record that tomorrow night. Write a chart.
Wow.
So literally, the next night, we recorded it.
Was
one
that
take.
Your stage debut?
No.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
My stage debut was a few years earlier when I was 12. Live, another crazy story, singing a song called The Beat Goes On.
The Sonny and Cher song?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. It follows me and haunts me to this day.
Now,
so
you are
it.
The vocalist in the current Buddy Rich band.
I am indeed.
All right. We're going to go back to a teenage Kathy.
Teenage Kathy.
And her dad introducing her. This is That's Enough. Listen up.
About 5 years ago, my daughter, who was then 40, this is a midget. That's a big and drunk. Right, you got the album? Are you the one? Give me a cigarette. Oh, I thank you for that. I thank you for buying the album. My daughter's very happy about that too, because she's grown. My daughter recorded the thing called The Beat Goes On. I wasn't sure. Thank you. I thank you for that. Anyhow, we have a brand new arrangement for my daughter to sing tonight. And two of her friends and two very talented young ladies, the daughters of John Hendricks, one of the great jazz singers of all time. And this thing called That's Enough. And it was written by John Hendricks, and it's kind of a gospel thing. I'd like you to meet my daughter first, Kathy. How do you like her so far? Come on, this is Kathy. Come on out here, pal. I love this kid. This is Michelle Hendricks and Colleen Hendricks.
There was always somebody talking about me, and really I don't mind. They try to stop me and block my progress most of the time. Well, the mean things they say never make me feel bad. Again, I miss a friend that I never had. Well, I got a lot, that's enough. Well,
That's enough.
Yes.